Welcome to Tribulation News with your host, Dr. Elizabeth Motke. Today I have a special guest, Keith Hansen, who was also live with me on Blog Talk Radio earlier this week. Welcome, Keith, to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Motke, for having me, and good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon to you, too. In the last week, or in the last few days, I would say, a lot has happened in the news. People that manufacture, in particular one person that manufactures guns, he got mysteriously killed. And then another person who has his own YouTube channel got mysteriously killed because of having a gun. So things are heating up. And on that note, can you please give the listeners a brief history of your background with firearms and a little bit about your talk show that is on every Saturday?
Okay. Well, I have been a law enforcement firearms instructor since 1999 and a defensive tactics instructor since 2001. I'm also a SWAT instructor and a MACTAC instructor, which is an acronym for Multi-Assailant Counterterrorism Action Capability. So I do a lot of training with law enforcement agencies, military agencies, contract security agencies, things like that. So I'm spending a lot of my professional time teaching security and law enforcement professionals how to be better at their jobs from a defensive standpoint. In addition to that, I also host a conservative talk radio show on 98.9 FM WGUF in Naples, Florida, called The Keith Hansen Show. And, of course, that show is simulcast on the web at www.keithontheair.com. That's keithontheair.com. And if people would like more information about me or the show, if you don't mind me just doing a shameless plug here for a sec, they can feel free to check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/Keith Hansen Show, and that's all one word. So either keithontheair.com or facebook.com/Keith Hansen Show will get you all of the good information that you might want. And I would encourage your listeners to stop on by and check it out. We usually have good stuff on there.
Yeah, and your show is phenomenal. I've listened to it at least one or two times.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We have a rapidly growing audience. Every episode that we do, I'm getting callers from all over the country and all over the world. So it's pretty amazing that broadcasting out of a small little FM station in Southwest Florida that we're reaching so many people. But it's at a point in time where there are so many people that are looking for they're looking for guidance. They're looking for answers. And I mean, I'm not saying that in the sense that I'm offering guidance to people. I'm just an average guy who's trying to make sense of all the confusion like everybody else. So together, I and my listeners, we gather together and we talk about these things. And we try to make sense of this, what's happening. Because I'm sure you could understand, and your listeners will understand, it's a very confusing and trying time right now. Nothing makes sense. It seems like everything is upside down, and everything that we have been taught is wrong is now right, and everything that we have been taught was right is now wrong. So the world, society, everything is just upside down, which coincidentally is how I define liberalism. Liberalism is standing on your head while you argue to the death that the rest of the world is upside down. So it kind of makes sense.
That's very true. And everything is backwards and upside down and inside out and just confusing almost all the time and sometimes even overwhelming too.
Without a doubt. Overwhelming is an excellent way of putting it. I think people are feeling very overwhelmed now. I am very, very thankful that I have an outlet. I have a media outlet. In addition to having my own radio show, I am frequently a guest on other radio shows. And it's nice because it gives me an outlet. I can get on the airwaves, and I can say what's on my mind, and I have to sympathize with the people that don't have an outlet like that, because I can only imagine how frustrating it must be. Again, there's so much going on. There's so much confusion and so much upside down in our society today. So I think that's one of the reasons why radio shows like this, radio shows like mine, and other talk shows are really becoming popular, because people need to discuss this. They need to get it off their chest, what they're thinking. They need to make sense of it in however they can. And it's difficult. It's difficult because it's not something that can be easily explained, because it's not rooted in rational thinking.
That's very true. So for those people who don't know about the gun ban, can you explain to them what that is about? And is it just about guns, or is there more to it?
Well, you know, you've got on the surface, you've got Dianne Feinstein, Senator Dianne Feinstein, who is an absolute wreck of a human being. I'm ashamed to share the same genus and species as this woman. But here's a person who is a perfect example of a liberal hypocrite. Here's a person who in 1995 testified before a Senate subcommittee that she herself had a concealed weapon permit and did carry a gun. And, of course, I'm paraphrasing, but she did make the statement her husband was the subject of death threats. So when she would go to wherever it was that she was going, the grocery store or the gym or wherever she would go, she would carry a firearm. And she did testify before this Senate subcommittee that she would use that firearm to take anybody with her that tried to take her out. So here's a perfect example of a liberal hypocrite and their do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do mentality. Because she feels it necessary to obtain a concealed weapons permit to carry a firearm for the purposes of self-defense, yet this is a privilege, and it's not a privilege, it's a right that's guaranteed by the Constitution in preservation of a right that's given to us by God, which is the protection of life. But here's a person who feels that it's okay for her to have access to this device to protect herself, but it is not okay for the average person to have access to this device or this tool to protect themselves. So, again, classic liberal hypocrisy. But in classic liberal fashion, in knee-jerk reaction to a tragedy, now this legislation is drafted, which it had been drafted long before the Sandy Hook. It was Sandy Hook was the precipitating factor to introduce this legislation. But Sandy Hook occurs, and then this legislation comes out. And, of course, it's seeking to not only re-implement or reinstate the meat of the Clinton assault weapons ban that went into effect in 1994, but it seeks to add on to that and also to outlaw certain types of handguns that have quote-unquote military characteristics. This is, on the surface, a gun ban. But make no mistake about it. This is not about guns. This has nothing to do with guns. If we were interested in saving lives, because this is supposedly what it's about, we have to save lives. Well, if we were interested in saving lives, we would ban alcohol, we would ban cars, we would ban ladders, we would ban coffee tables, we would ban hammers, we would ban walking, we would ban or try to ban lightning, we would ban getting gasoline at a fuel station, because all of these things have led to people's deaths. It's not about keeping people safe. It's about two things. Number one, an unprecedented display of power by the national government. And notice I'm not saying federal government, because we are not a federalist system. Our founding fathers designed us to be a federalist system of government. We are not a federal system of government. We are a national government, because we have a national government that encroaches into every aspect of the lives of private citizens in this country. There isn't one aspect of your life that the federal government hasn't let its tentacles encroach upon. So we're not in a federal system. We're in a national system. So it's about the national display of power. Because you and I and the majority of other God-fearing, liberty-loving citizens of this country believe that we elect our senators and our congressmen and our president to go to Washington and to be stewards of the people. And that indeed is what it was intended to be. However, these people realize that now they are, because we haven't held them accountable, we have not only given them the keys to the house, but we've given them the run of the house. So now they have become our ruling class. And what they want to do is to show us in no uncertain terms that they are in charge and we are powerless. So it's about an unprecedented display of power, taking away the tools that enforce the Second Amendment, which, of course, is the one amendment that guarantees the existence of all other rights. And it's such an important amendment that the Founding Fathers made it the second enumerated item on the Bill of Rights. The first, of course, being freedom of religion and freedom of expression. Because you have to remember what our Founding Fathers chose to fight for freedom from. what they decided to declare independence from, which was a tyrannical monarch. What do we have in the White House today? A tyrannical monarch, a person who shows contempt, utter contempt, and utter disdain for the American way of life, for the American rule of jurisprudence, and the American system of government. So, to summarize again, it is about an unprecedented display of power by the national government. Number two, it's also about bankrupting yet another aspect of the American economy. In 1960, I think it was 65, but don't quote me on that. It was in the 60s. Two Columbia University economists, Cloward and Piven, Frances Fox Piven and her husband, I think it was John Cloward, but again, don't quote me on that. I know his last name was Cloward, but I often forget his first name, were two Columbia economists who were radical socialists who developed what is now known as the Cloward and Piven strategy. And the Cloward and Piven strategy was a method of collapsing any type of economy to implement a new type of economy. Now, in this case, liberals and socialists, they don't like the free market system. They don't like capitalism. The reason that they don't like capitalism and that they don't like the free market system is simply because the free market system is proof positive that an economic system, when left alone, can do an outstanding job of existing and self-policing. And they don't like that because it invalidates their big government, intrusive government argument. So in order to topple the crown jewel, being the free market system or capitalism, the socialists need to collapse the system. They need to collapse the free market system so they can turn around and say, see, we told you, free market systems don't work. So the idea is to now overload the free market system, to overload our economy with so many unfunded liabilities, welfare and food stamps and Medicaid and Medicare and Obamacare and everything else, that the system can no longer support its own weight. So it collapses under its own weight. And once that system collapses, then throughout history, if we study it, we learn that now we create a power vacuum. We create an economic vacuum. And so something has to fill that economic and political vacuum. So what happens? The socialists can now turn around and implement a European-style social, economic, medical system. That's their intent. So to summarize, this gun ban is about, number one, a national display of power, showing the American people who's truly in charge. And number two, it's about bankrupting yet another aspect of the American economy in furtherance of Cloward and Piven.
That's very true. Basically, what is on your radar right now?
What's on my radar? Well, first of all, we have this impending gun ban. Yesterday, I hate to use this word Vice President Biden, but I would rather say Vice President Biden than ever have the word President Biden escape my lips. This man, by the way, if you look up the DSM definition of mental retardation, you will find so many of Joe Biden's characteristics in that DSM manual, it's frightening. This man is clinically retarded. He really is. And I'm not saying that to be sarcastic or funny. Joe Biden is clinically mentally retarded. Joe Biden yesterday gives, of course, his press conference where he says that if the Senate fails to act on comprehensive gun control, that the president will utilize his power, quote unquote, to pass either executive action or an executive order to get it done. Once again, demonstrating that Barack Hussein Obama has absolutely no respect for the American rule of law or the American system of government. Because everything that this man does is through executive fiat. He rules through the executive order. He bypasses Congress. He bypasses the Senate. And he expects that an activist judicial system, the SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, is going to keep lockstep with his decisions through these executive orders. So this is what's on the radar. Make no mistake about it, people. They are coming for your guns. They want your guns. Because an unarmed society is a vulnerable society. Russian newspaper Pravda just yesterday published an article saying, America, don't ever give up your guns. Don't ever give up your guns. Russia's saying this because they recognize what happened what the Bolsheviks did when they took the guns away from the Russian citizens. Russian citizens were armed. They were quite heavily armed under the Tsars. There was never a problem with a private citizen carrying a firearm or carrying a knife or carrying a sword. But the Bolsheviks come in and they take the guns away, and then what happens? We have the implementation of communism. And if we crack a history book, we look all throughout the 20th century. We look at comprehensive gun control, comprehensive gun registration schemes that ultimately lead to confiscation. And we sit back. Americans are very complacent because we sit back and we think, hey, everything is great. Because there are people out there, military and law enforcement personnel, who are willing to do violence on our behalf to protect us and keep us safe. So Americans think it'll never happen on American soil. Well, let me tell you something. The Russians never thought it would happen to them. The Chinese, under Mao Zedong, never thought it would happen to them until the firearms were confiscated and the murders started taking place. The Russians never thought it would happen until the Bolsheviks started taking the guns and then the murders started taking place. The Germans never thought it would happen. The Italians never thought it would happen. The Koreans never thought it would happen. The Cubans never thought it would happen. The Australians never thought it would happen. And of course, we Americans, we sit on our couches and we watch Dancing with the Stars and Jersey Shore and we think, hey, everything's going to be okay because we're Americans. It will never happen here. Well, I'm telling you, you need to wake up, you need to pull your head out of the sand, and you need to realize that this is coming. And you need to defend your right to keep and bear arms against these tyrants. Because once they get your guns, there is no stopping them in whatever agenda they happen to have. Why didn't the Russians invade mainland America? Because of the guns. Why didn't the Germans invade mainland America? Because of the guns. Matsumoto, when he was asked after World War II why he didn't invade mainland America, his response, I would be foolish to do so because behind every blade of grass is an American with a rifle. So the Second Amendment protects us not only from tyranny from our own government, but also protects us from invasion from foreign bodies that would seek to exploit us once we were disarmed. This isn't right-wing hyperbole. This isn't nut job crazy conspiratorial talk. This is fact. And this is the 13th hour. We're running out of time. Because once this right is gone, it's gone. And once the flame of freedom is extinguished in this country, it's gone forever. We are the last bastion of freedom in the world. Once America falls, where are you going to go?
That's very true. So since they're going after those of us who are in the front lines, in particular with our speech, the First Amendment issue, how does that go with the gun ban, the First and Second Amendment together? Because it seems like they're banning both at the same time.
Well, there's a concept called the doctrine of the inevitability of gradualization. It's also called change blindness. And I'm sure you've heard the analogy of if you drop a frog into a pot of boiling water, it's going to jump out. But if you put the frog in a pot of lukewarm water and then slowly turn the temperature up, the frog will never notice the difference and it will eventually succumb. Well, think about where we are in this country today and think about where we were. For your listeners that are, you know, in their 50s or their 60s, even their listeners that are in their 40s, think about what we have today in our society versus what we had in our society 40 years ago. How things have changed. You can't fly today without going through an invasive groping of your genitals by non-sworn security guards, for lack of a better term. We've sacrificed so many freedoms under the auspices of security that and that's just one aspect. Our country is not what our country was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. If they take all of the rights away, and this is the thing, they cannot take rights away. They think they can, but rights are not granted by men. because what man gives, man can take away. Rights are granted to us by God and are preserved and recognized by the Constitution of this great country. It's important that people understand that. So, I mean, yes, of course, you have the erosion and the deterioration of the First Amendment. You have the erosion and the deterioration of the Second Amendment and every other amendment, because it's a concerted effort. But we're going to do it slowly. This is exactly how the gun ban in California took place. It started off slow. All we want to do is register them. All we want to know is where the guns are. And then what happened? Several months after we had this sweeping gun registration initiative, then we had an amnesty period, a buyback period, and then outright criminalization of possession of any of those firearms. See, they're smart enough to realize that if they do things too quickly, that the American people will realize, probably catch on, and react. So it's a lot easier to be able to do things in small baby steps, gradualization. Because that way there, people become anesthetized to the change, and then the changes are accepted. We're going to feed it to you in small doses. And that's exactly what this regime does. People need to wake up. People need to realize what's happening. People need to draw their own line in the sand, and they need to be steadfast in the preservation of their liberties.
That's very true. And we're going to take a brief 1-minute break, and then we can start to take some calls after that. Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Maki. Thank you for listening today. Please make a donation at BBS Radio at radio station number 2 under the Tribulation News link. That is on Sunday nights from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for your time and your willingness to listen to the latest news and latest information that is pertinent as we enter perilous times. Welcome back to Tribulation News with your host, Dr. Elizabeth Maki, and our guest, Keith Hansen. If you would like to call in, our toll-free number is 888-429-5471, or you can call at 530-413-9537 or 530-513-6472 or on Skype, BBS Radio 2. Okay, so I remember you saying the other day about the word unalienable in the Declaration of Independence, I believe. How does that fit in all this? Keith, are you there?
Yep, there we go. I'm sorry, I had my microphone mute button on. I apologize about that. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Very good, okay. Well, you know, it's interesting. When we talk about the Declaration of Independence, we talk about, of course, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain rights. And there's a word in there that precedes rights that actually most people get wrong. Most people, when they recite that, they say, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Well, the word inalienable is actually incorrect. If you read the text of the Declaration of Independence, it is not inalienable. It's unalienable. Inalienable, of course, being I-N-A-L-I-E-N-A-B-L-E. If you actually look at the text, it's unalienable, U-N-A-L-I-E-N-A-B-L-E. And if you look the two different terms up, and of course most of my – when I have to look something up that's very official or legal, I refer to Black's Law Dictionary. And if you actually look them up in Black's Law Dictionary, you'll notice a very striking difference between the two. Inalienable is a right that is bestowed to one person by another, and therefore can be taken away. But unalienable is something that is given, that is not given, but that belongs to somebody. It is theirs inherently and cannot be given or sold or traded. So it's important that your listeners understand it's not inalienable, it's unalienable. Because our founding fathers recognized that these gifts, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, did not come from man. Man does not give another man life. Man does not give another man liberty. And man does not contribute to one's pursuit of happiness. And actually, the original text was property. God gives us those things. God gives us liberty. God gives us life. God presents us the opportunity to pursue happiness or to pursue our personal interests. So those rights are unalienable. And it was so important to our founding fathers that that distinction be made, that they included that word in there, unalienable. Man cannot take these away. Now, when we look at the Bill of Rights under the Constitution, okay, very simply, Article number 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or the prohibition of free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right to people to peaceably assemble. Article 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Anywhere in that amendment, or excuse me, in that article, does it say anything about hunting? In order to guarantee food is on your plate and your family's bellies are full, the rights of a people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. No. Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States exists to carry out the mandates in the Declaration of Independence. Reading from the Declaration of Independence. When a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It's beautiful English, Dr. Mottke. People don't talk like this anymore, but it's beautiful. It's so picturesque. It's so rich with knowledge and history, the way that our founding fathers spoke. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. What does that mean? It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. It means that government is by, of, and for the people. And that if the government becomes too tyrannical, if it seeks to usurp too much power, the founding fathers wanted the people, that's the militia, the people. The militia of 1776 were the doctors and the farmers and the school teachers who at a moment's notice would drop their stethoscopes and drop their pitchforks and drop their chalk and pick up rifles and go out and secure the Union. The purpose is to make sure that these people back then and American citizens today have the ability to protect themselves from a government that would seek to take away the gifts that God has given them. That's the purpose of these documents. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, another liberal piece of excrement, made the comment yesterday. Enough is enough, he says. I say to you, forget the extremists, and I'm quoting from him from his State of the State address yesterday. It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Cuomo. The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is not about hunting deer. It has nothing to do with shooting animals. It has to do with shooting at the government when they come to take away your rights. That's what this is about.
Wow. So, since our country is currently divided right now, what do you think could happen as a result of this gun ban?
You know, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, it's a scary thought. Because when is the last time that our nation has been as divided as it is today? You've heard the saying, a house divided against itself cannot stand. How can our house, how can our country stand when we are divided on every socioeconomic demographic out there? We are divided sexually, male versus female, gay versus straight. We're divided on this abortion issue. We're divided over the gay marriage issue. We're divided over race, black versus white. We're divided over religion, Christianity versus Islam, Islam versus everybody else, Jews versus Christians. We are divided against, we are divided on every aspect. Rich versus poor, haves versus have-nots, the producers versus the consumers. But this is all part of the plan. And this, again, it's not conspiracy theory. The plan is to divide. If you can divide, you can create bread and circus. Bread and circus was the plan of the Romans to dissolve the Roman Empire. What happens when you have people that are distracted? They get distracted by things, so that way they're not paying attention to what's really important. So, you know, what's going to happen? I have no idea. But I'll tell you, not since the Civil War has this country been so divided. Now, if that's any indication of how things could go in the future, I don't know. I'll tell you this much. Do I want to see violence? Absolutely not. Do I want to see a civil war in this country? Absolutely not. Because violence is a last resort, and violence solves nothing. It solves nothing. It simply complicates things. Okay? But I don't know what could possibly happen. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. If I had a crystal ball and I could look into it and figure out what was going to happen a year from now, 5 years from now, trust me, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing for a living.
True. Same with myself.
First of all, people need to educate themselves. Number two, people need to draw their line in the sand and figure out where their crossing point is. And number three, people need to pray. People need to pray for this country. People need to pray for our leaders. And when I use the term leader, again, I shouldn't even use the term leader. I should specify stewards. Pray for our stewards. Barack Obama is not a leader. Barack Obama was elected to present the will of the people, to represent the will of the people. And Barack Obama, like everybody else, took an oath to office. However, Barack Obama's oath is different because his oath contains one word that nobody else's oath contains. Everybody else, when they're elected, when they're sworn in, they raise their hand and they swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The president's swearing-in speech is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. Not an ideology, not a political party, not a political figure, not a concept, not a theory, but a document. A document that was written, a document that codified the intent of the founding fathers. And you got to understand that the founding fathers, when they wrote the Constitution, even the act of writing the Constitution was in direct defiance of the British Crown. Because the British Constitution is largely oral. It's not written down. The reason why the founding fathers wrote the Constitution and didn't just write it into oral lore, but they actually put pen on paper, quill on parchment, was so that way their intent and their words were written down in black and white for all to see, to be read and applied, not interpreted. Because we sit there today and we try to pick apart and interpret, well, based upon the presence of this comma, this piece of punctuation, what's the intent? I think the intent is pretty clear. In law enforcement, we have a term called the totality of the circumstances. If you look at the totality of our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, it's pretty clear what our founding fathers had intended for us. Our founding fathers intended for us to be a free society. But a free society has to be rooted in a moral and ethical foundation, which is why part of the liberal agenda up until this point has been the destruction of the family. Think about in the 50s how the nuclear family was precious. It was sacred. Mom and dad and, you know, the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence. And today, that's laughed at. All of our sacred institutions are being dismantled. Our families, our religion, our churches. Even the image of a man. A man used to be a strong, dominant provider who would protect his family at all costs. What about today? Now we have the pussified metrosexual man who half the time you can't even tell whether he's a male or a female. He's incapable of defending himself, let alone a family. And as our illustrious, soon-to-be second-term attorney general, God help us all, Eric Holder, said in 1995, we have to change people's opinions on guns. We have to make guns so that they're not cool anymore. Because God forbid, wow, we have people who can defend themselves or defend their families. Everything that's sacred has been turned upside down. It's been destroyed. Our families, the institution of marriage has become a sham. Now two men can marry each other, while other people can get marriages of convenience that fall apart after and can get an annulment. Remember in the 50s what would happen if a family got divorced? The woman was a social outcast. Today it's expected. Hey, I'm on husband number three. I'm on husband number four. This has become the norm. Our family is, everything about our society has been destroyed. So, you know, this is a very, very concerted effort. What do I see happening? I don't know, but I don't like where I see this country going. And again, it's written on the wall in black and white what's going to happen to this country if people don't wake up and start taking a stand. We're going to go the way of every other free society that's ever existed that has imploded due to its own vices and its own faults. That's where I see it happening. And it's unfortunate.
That's very true. And it's interesting how our own, whatever you want to call him in office, he compares himself to Lincoln, and yet Lincoln upheld the Constitution. And yet the person in office we have right now, Obama, doesn't even do that.
No, Obama rules by executive fiat. Because, again, Obama has no respect for the American rule of law, American society, American jurisprudence, American government, the free market system. He abhors it. He absolutely abhors it. And all you need to do is look at the track record of this man. But again, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and I actually did a show a couple of months ago. It was right after this whole "you didn't build it" thing came out. And Obama was saying it, and Biden was saying it. We're better off, you know, than we were 4 years ago. And I did a whole show on this. It's actually on my archives at keithontheair.com. Again, that's Keith on the Air. I'm just going to plug the show again. Keithontheair.com. You can find the archive of it. But we talked about it, and I came to the conclusion. I said, you know what? We are better off than we were 4 years ago. And I had a lot of people that said to me, how could you possibly say that? And I said, because you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. You're looking at it from an American citizen who believes in the American way of life, who appreciates the free market system, who appreciates the opportunity to go out and to succeed or fail, but to have the freedom to be able to do that. But if you shift the perspective and you look at it from the perspective of a Marxist, of a statist who hates America, who hates our system of government, who hates our legal system, who hates our economic system, and whose goal is to fundamentally transform the United States of America, when you look at all of the things that have happened over the past 4 years of Obama and the transitions that we're making towards a socialist system, if you're looking at it from the perspective of a Marxist or a statist, then yes, we are absolutely better off than we were 4 years ago, because we're closer now to the internal collapse of this country and the implementation of a European-style socialist system than we ever have been in the history of this country. So yeah, we are absolutely better off than we were 4 years ago. Again, if you're looking at it from the perspective of a Marxist.
Very true, looking at it from their perspective. I remember there was this movie, of course they like to do predictive programming. There was this movie called Failsafe, and they said in that particular movie, which stood out to me, was that they had to get rid of capitalism in order for communism to rule. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting because of just how close you are to an economic collapse. And then once you have that going on, or simultaneously have the gun ban, how everything is going to implode and explode, and you have World War III breaking out, you have civil war in every country.
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, once the guns are gone, once Americans are disarmed, then what's stopping all of these countries who in the past have not invaded mainland America from doing so? You mean to tell me that if we were disarmed, you don't think the Chinese would make a move on us? Absolutely. You don't think the Russians would make a move on us? You better believe it. Because once we're defenseless, what's stopping tyrants, what's stopping dictators from taking advantage of our weakened position? And understand one thing. Criminals, tyrants, only understand one thing. That's brute force. There's only one thing that a criminal understands, and that's force. They take by force, and they are disincentivized through another person's willingness to use force. They only understand force. That's it. And that's all tyrants understand, is force. In Ronald Reagan, we saw it. It was peace through superior firepower. Because under Ronald Reagan, if we had a Benghazi under Ronald Reagan, you know what would have happened? Ronald Reagan would have turned that place into a glowing slag heap. Because he would have said, you mess with Americans on American soil, and by the way, embassies and consulates, kids, they're American soil. You mess with Americans on American soil, we're going to take you out. And that's really what the arms race was all about. Peace through superior firepower. Mutually assured destruction. Nobody is ever going to be stupid enough to try to initiate an act of force when they know the likely outcome is their annihilation. I mean, even criminals, even tyrants, as stupid as they are, and if you're a criminal, odds are you're pretty stupid. That's why you're a criminal. You don't engage in behavior that's likely to cause your death or your demise. You just don't. It doesn't make sense. In business, we call it a cost-benefit analysis. Criminals use cost-benefit analysis too. Tyrants use a cost-benefit analysis as well. And they're not about to go and try to do something that is likely to result in their destruction or their annihilation. But when you look at it, what is Obama doing? Well, let's get rid of the guns. Let's defund the military. Let's reduce our nuclear arms stockpile to the point where now we're vulnerable. Let's go ahead and, you know, when our American citizens are killed in American soil in an American embassy, hey, let's send Hillary Clinton to send a strongly worded letter, because that's really going to show them how serious we are. We have become the laughingstock of the world under this usurper-in-chief that occupies the White House. Make no mistake about that. We are the laughingstock because these fanatical Muslim countries, doesn't even have to be a fanatical Muslim country, it could be any country that's out there, can pretty much do whatever it is that they want to do. And what's the United States going to do about it? Nothing. So, you know, again, we are being destroyed from the inside out. And never forget those words. Protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the greatest enemy that we're facing right now is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's very true. So if the Civil War should happen in the next 2 to 3 months, let's say it's March 2013, we've got 30 or 90 days roughly in turning in our weapons. What do you see occurring from this point forward?
Well, I think it's largely going to be regional. I think if they try to implement some type of registration or this is what I see happening. I don't think that Dianne Feinstein is far too radical even for her own party. So I think there would be a lot of people that, you know, I don't think you would get 535 senators and congressmen to actually agree on anything on this assault weapons ban or any type of weapons ban for that matter, which is, I think, exactly why Biden came out with his speech yesterday that said, well, you know what, if they fail to act on this, we're going to, and of course I'm paraphrasing, if they fail to act on this, we're going to utilize an executive order or an executive action or something, but we're going to get it done. Okay, so again, listen, we're going to bypass Congress because they're irrelevant. We've seen that time and time and time again, which again evidences Obama's contempt for the American system and the American system of government. But I don't think a weapons ban or any type of a gun control act is going to really pass in the House or in the Senate. So really, what I think is going to wind up happening is Obama is just going to do an executive order, and what's going to happen is Dianne Feinstein's assault weapon ban is just going to be swept into law via executive order. Now, I've talked to a number of people who say, well, you know, as soon as they do that, then the NRA is going to wind up filing a suit, and, you know, they're going to tie it up in litigation. Okay, great. And how much respect, maybe respect is the wrong word, how much faith and trust do you have in the Supreme Court of the United States to not rubber stamp an Obama agenda? Remember how shocked we were when the Obamacare ruling came out? Remember how surprised we were on that? So do you really have faith and trust that SCOTUS is going to uphold the Constitution over Obama? I don't have a lot of faith in that. I really don't. Now, I think in the Northeast, I think for people that are living up in, you know, and I come from Massachusetts, so I understand what a bastion of socialism and liberalism that place is. It's a cesspool, which is why I got out. How somebody like Elizabeth Warren, that lying, manipulative, Jezebelian whore, could get elected shows the stupidity and the ignorance of the electorate in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, if you'd like, I could tell you how I really feel, but probably we should avoid that. So the Northeast, oh, they're going to capitulate. Oh, you better believe it, because the law enforcement officers up there have no concept of what a constitution is. So if the federal government says go out and take the guns, I think you're going to see in lockstep, people are going to go out and they're going to confiscate the guns. So the people that have taken an oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, are going to violate the rights of the citizens of this country and go out and enforce an illegal, unlawful, unconstitutional mandate from the federal government. Now, I will say this. I spent a year and a half. Have you heard of Oath Keepers? The organization Oath Keepers? Okay. I spent a year and a half as the state of Florida chapter vice president and a year as the Florida president of Oath Keepers. So I have hands-on experience with this organization. Let me tell you a little bit about Oath Keepers because there may be some people listening who are unfamiliar with the organization. First of all, I would recommend you go to oathkeepers, all one word, .org. That's oathkeepers.org. Let me tell you what they say about Oath Keepers. The left, the liberals, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and Mark Poduck, who is head of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Hate Watch group, they have illustriously titled Oath Keepers as the most dangerous extremist right-wing militia group in the history of right-wing extremist militia groups. Let me tell you what we're not. We're not a militia. We're not a political action campaign or committee. We're not a political organization. We are simply an educational organization that seeks to reach, teach, and inspire currently serving and retired military and law enforcement personnel about the oath that they took to the Constitution and their duty to uphold and honor that oath. That's it. But only a socialist, only a Marxist would live in fear of a law enforcement officer or a soldier upholding their oath. So when I talk about Oath Keepers, it's very important to understand that Oath Keepers is an organization that seeks to educate the people who are ultimately responsible with carrying out a mandate from the federal government to confiscate your firearms, to seize your weapons. Now, I can tell you in talking with a lot of law enforcement, because I train law enforcement, and I train with law enforcement all over the country as an instructor, both in firearms and defensive tactics. There are a lot of very good, very educated, very intelligent constitutional law enforcement officers out there. The frightening thing is that there's an equal number of ignorant, uneducated, non-constitutional law enforcement officers out there who, when asked, couldn't tell you what the Second Amendment was, or the Third Amendment was, or the Fourth Amendment was, or what the Fifth Amendment was, or how it affects you as a private citizen or them as a law enforcement officer. So it's really important that your listeners, if they know somebody who's in law enforcement, ask them. If somebody gave you an order to confiscate the firearms from a law-abiding citizen, would you do it? For those of you that live in jurisdictions where your chief law enforcement officer isn't a chief of police, but is a sheriff, ask your sheriff what he or she would do. Would they order their deputies to enforce an unconstitutional gun grab? Or would they stand their ground and say, under no circumstances will you come into my county and violate the constitutional rights of the citizens thereof? Because a lot of people don't realize this, but the county sheriff is the highest elected law enforcement officer in a person's jurisdiction. That is a law enforcement position that is by, of, and for the people truly, because they are elected. And most people don't realize, but that the county sheriff has the ability to arrest a federal officer in their jurisdiction. So your listeners should be asking themselves, and then should be asking their sheriffs or their chiefs of police, what would you do? And I think some of you will be very surprised by the answers you get. Some of you pleasantly, and some of you frighteningly disappointed. But I would encourage you to do that, to reach out to the men and women of law enforcement in your communities and find out exactly where they stand. Because these are the people that are either going to be protecting you from federal agents or people that are going to be aiding and abetting federal agents when they come for your firearms. And make no mistake about it, folks, they want your guns. And make no mistake about it, folks, they're coming for your guns. It's just a question of what you will do when they come for them.
Very true. And on that note, we'll take a brief 1 minute break. Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Maki. Thank you for listening today. Please make a donation at BBS Radio at radio station number 2 under the Tribulation News link. That is on Sunday nights from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for your time and your willingness to listen to the latest news and latest information that is pertinent as we enter perilous times. All right. Welcome back to Tribulation News with your host, Dr. Elizabeth Maki, and our special guest, Keith Hansen. I do have a question for you. How can people get in touch with you or learn more about your show?
Okay. Well, if people would like to get in touch with me, they can certainly reach me through Facebook. That's probably the easiest way to do it. Facebook.com/Keith Hansen Show, and that's Keith, that's K-E-I-T-H. So Facebook.com/Keith Hansen Show. They can also reach me through my website, which is keithontheair.com, www.keithontheair.com, and that's all one word. And if people would like to be a part of my show airs Saturdays beginning at 12 o'clock Eastern time. And, of course, if you happen to be in the Southwest Florida area, you can catch it on 98.9 FM WGUF out of Naples, Florida. And you can also stream it live either from a smartphone, a tablet or a desktop computer using the interface links on the website keithontheair.com. So it'd be great to have people, you know, definitely tune in and certainly give me a call if they'd like to discuss any of these topics or these issues. Our call-in number at the radio station is 239-430-2428. And of course, I'm not there now, so don't dial this number now. But during the show, when I'm broadcasting live, 239-430-2428 is our call-in number.
All right. Thank you.
My pleasure.
You're welcome. Whatever. I can't get the words out all of a sudden.
That's okay.
End of the week kind of thing.
It's well, you know what? It's and I'm sure you're sitting there listening, and it's a lot to digest. It really is. You know, I have so many people that contact me, email and you know, through messages on Facebook, and you know, the questions are all the same. What do you see happening? What do you see happening? What should I do? And again, I go back to my original advice, which is prepare and learn and pray. Pray for guidance, pray for strength, pray for peace. Above all, pray that this stuff doesn't come to fruition, because we don't want this. Again, you know, despite what I do for a living, teaching firearms and teaching defensive tactics, I hate violence. I can't stand it. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of a baby. I don't like violence because I don't like to fight, because I don't like getting hurt. I had a splinter the other day, and I was wincing in pain as I was having my splinter taken out. You know, I don't like pain. There's just no point. We're an educated entity. We're an educated creature. We should be able to sit down and reason our differences out. But unfortunately, again, there are some people who only understand one means of conflict resolution, and that's brute force. So I hate violence. I don't want to see a violent end. I don't want to see a violent uprising, because it's not going to solve anything. It's going to complicate matters far beyond what we have right now. So my prayer, personally, and what I would encourage everybody else to pray for, is a peaceful resolution to this. That's first and foremost what I hope for. And people ask all the time, where do I see this going? I don't know. Unfortunately, too much of this decision, where this goes in the future, rests in the hands and on the shoulders of people who are really not emotionally or intellectually or spiritually equipped to be making these decisions. And of course, these are the people that are occupying the national government in Washington. These people are morally bankrupt. They're spiritually bankrupt. They're ethically bankrupt. So what can a morally and ethically and spiritually bankrupt group of people possibly do that's positive? That's unfortunately where the dark side of this comes in.
That's very true. When you said the dark side, it reminded me of Star Wars all of a sudden.
Well, you know, I mean, Darth Vader, Obama, hey, you know what? I don't know, you know. Maybe there's some similarities there.
Could be. So, obviously, since we don't know a lot about the future, because only God knows everything, do you think FEMA might have a part in all of this? When they do come for the guns?
It's possible. It's possible. I really want to try to avoid the conspiracy theory. You know, and I'm not saying that's where you're going, but it's possible. I would rather focus on what I'm actually seeing and what I know to be true right now, as opposed to trying to speculate on what role FEMA is going to play. Listen, I mean, FEMA, again, is a federal agency. Again, if I knew that I was living in a jurisdiction that had a constitutional sheriff, would I really give a rat's hindquarters what the federal government was going to do? No, because I know that I would have a chief law enforcement officer who was commanding a battalion of constitutional law enforcement officers who were going to prevent a federal agency. You know, ATF or DEA or CIA or FBI or anybody else from coming in, or FEMA or anybody else, DHS, from coming into my county and violating my rights. That's the first role of a sheriff. So, again, this is where your listeners need to do their homework and find out where their chief law enforcement officers of their jurisdiction stands. You should be calling your sheriff. You should be calling your chief of police if you don't have a sheriff. If your sheriff is only, you know, corrections. There are a lot of, especially in Massachusetts, the sheriff's department up there really is responsible for care, custody, control, and transport of inmates and civil process. So your chief, your sheriff up in Massachusetts, if that's where you happen to be, is not your chief law enforcement officer per se. It's really your chief of police. But what stand is your chief law enforcement officer going to take? So yeah, you should be contacting your chief law enforcement officer. We call them CLEO. The acronym is CLEO. So you should be contacting your CLEO and saying, where do you stand on this? And again, the answer is either going to be frightening or it's going to be reassuring. All depends on where that person's stand is. But never forget, whatever, irrespective of what stand they take, they took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution and the constitutional rights of the citizens of their jurisdiction from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Never lose sight of that. And that's the standard that they need to be held to.
You're right. So Hurricane Katrina, they took away the guns down there. So how would that fit into what is coming in the next few months?
I think it's entirely possible that Hurricane Katrina was a test. Whether or not it was a deliberate test or whether or not in the wake of what happened, people studied it and said, this is very interesting. I live in the South. I live in Florida. Southerners love their guns. I can't think of a population that loves their guns more than Southerners. Can you?
Not really.
I mean, when you think about the South, you think about good old boys and pickup trucks and rednecks and gun racks, right? That's as American as apple pie and ammo. So Southerners love their guns. And I keep thinking, how many people in New Orleans do you think issued those words? They can have my gun when they pry it from my cold, dead hands. Well, I'm sure a lot of them did, which I find very interesting in light of the fact that not one single shot was fired in resistance when law enforcement officers, private security contractors, and even California Highway Patrol officers. Yes, that's right, folks. California Highway Patrol officers were shipped down to New Orleans in Jefferson Parish to assist in law enforcement efforts because, don't forget, roughly 80% of the New Orleans Police Department just left their posts. They disappeared. They got out of Dodge. So there was a vacuum that was created. Remember we talked earlier about how vacuums are very rarely filled by something that's better than what they're replacing. So what happened? Government contract security, law enforcement officers from other jurisdictions, and even California Highway Patrol officers went door to door, house to house, boat to boat, confiscating firearms, and again, an illegal, unethical, and unconstitutional gun grab that was initiated by that sham communist, Ray Nagin, and again, was enforced by the chief of police in New Orleans. So, you know, again, I see a lot of people talking, a lot of tough talk. But again, it's very easy to be a tough talker from behind the comfort of your keyboard. The question is, would you still be that tough talking person when you've got four or five guys in SWAT gear on your doorstep coming to take your guns? Odds are probably not, because at that point, most of us at least, rational, reasonably intelligent, prudent people, have what's called a sense of self-preservation, an instinct, and that instinct kicks in. So at that point, it's a lot easier to say, you know what, I'm going to give my guns up because I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get injured. I don't want to get killed. I'm just going to give my guns up, and hopefully they'll leave me alone.
Yeah, I've even heard that from my side of the family, too. They say, oh, just give it to them. They're going to get it anyways. And, you know, I've told my family, you know, keep your guns because all of what's coming is not going to be pretty. So there's division on that.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you noticed with people and what they're thinking?
Well, again, I talk to a lot of people who are... I talk to a lot of people who talk tough, you know. Oh, they, you know, they're never going to get my guns. They're never going to get my guns. You know, listen, I hope that people actually have that resolve in the face of true adversity. I hope they have that same sentiment. Because again, you know, it's a lot easier to have that resolve when there's nothing on the line. But when you're actually facing true adversity, are you going to maintain that level of resolve? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. The fate of this country rests on the ability of people to recognize their rights, to recognize when their rights are being usurped, and stand up and collectively say, I will not become a subject. And again, make no mistake about it. This is about turning you from a citizen into a subject. Throughout history, when tyrants want to take control of a people, they take away the guns, and they take away the gold. They take away the guns for obvious reasons. They take away the gold because without the gold, they have no unit of exchange. They have no means of bartering. They have no means of trading, except for bartering services for goods. But again, this happened in China. It happened in Korea. It happened in Italy. It happened in Germany. It happened in Cuba. It happened in Russia. Look at what's happened in Australia. You know what the biggest problem they're having criminally in Australia right now is? Home invasions. And it's interesting because they're having armed home invasions. Yet Australia has a gun ban. They went door to door, house to house, confiscating. They actually went around with mobile metal bandsaws that as somebody handed their guns over, they could, on the spot, saw them in half and render them inoperable. So how's that gun ban working out? We don't have to look at Australia. All we have to look at is Chicago. What city in this country has the toughest gun laws? Chicago. How many homicides did Chicago finish the year off with? Do you know the answer to that?
I have no idea.
532. 532 homicides in the city of Chicago. There were more homicides in Chicago than there were deaths in Afghanistan. Afghanistan. That should tell you something. So how's that gun ban working out for you there, folks, up there in Chicago?
That's very true. It seems like it's never-ending thing. They just want to keep banning something from us. If it's not going to be weapons, especially, it's going to be soft drinks like they do in New York.
Oh, yeah, but we'll make sure that we legalize marijuana because that's important. And we'll make sure that we legalize abortion because that's important. And we'll make sure that everybody has free birth control because that's important. You know, again, this goes back to what I said at the opening of the show. Everything today is upside down.
Exactly.
Everything is upside down. So again, you know, people ask, what can I do? Well, the first thing that you need to do is you need to educate yourself. You need to learn history. You need to pick up a history book and you need to understand how all of these murderous, tyrannical regimes got their start. They started by oppressing and subjugating the citizens of their countries. Russia, China, Italy, Germany, Korea, Cuba. It all happened the same way. The second thing that you need to do is you need to prepare. At the very least, have food stockpiled. I'm not talking about a year's worth of food. I'm just talking about make sure that you have enough food to take care of yourself and your family if supply chains go down. Make sure that you have your firearms. Make sure that you have your ammunition. And if you need ammunition, email me, Keith@keithontheair.com. I have good sources for ammunition. So again, Keith@keithontheair.com. If you need ammunition, I have good sources for you at reasonable prices. And you need to pray. Last but certainly not least, you need to pray. And I know we're wrapping up here, so I just want to leave your listeners with 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this is the New International Version. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What a beautiful prospect. If our nation returns to God, if we make God a priority, if we make the glorification of Christ a priority in our lives and in our nation, God will hear us. He will forgive the sins of our land, and he will heal our land. What a beautiful promise that is. So educate, prepare, and pray. Pray for the men and women of law enforcement and the military, that they will have the ability to understand right and wrong, that they will have the understanding of the Constitution. They'll understand orders in the context of the Constitution and have the strength and the determination and the fortitude to determine what's right and what's wrong. Pray for our elected stewards, the people who are in Washington to do our will, but who are failing miserable at it. And pray for yourself. Pray for strength. Pray for guidance. Pray for tolerance. Pray for patience, because that's what we need right now.
Amen to that. Thank you for coming on the show today, Keith.
All right. It's my pleasure. And thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome, and have a great show Saturday as well.
Thank you. Again, if your listeners want to catch it, keithontheair.com, www.keithontheair.com, or also facebook.com/Keith Hansen Show. And look forward to talking to you again soon, Dr. Mackey. Thank you very much for your time and for having me on your show.
You're welcome, and thank you.
God bless.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.